can come on to the podium. I think we'll just give you and Mr. Shandoval a corner seat so you
sure.
can stay
Absolutely.
With us.
If it's rent-free, I'll take it. Your
there you go. You have 15 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any time for a
3 minutes, please.
3 minutes it is.
Thank you. And good morning again. My name is Lauren Whitley with the Richmond Public Defender's Office on behalf of Mr. Lewis. The issue in this case is that, or the error that the trial court made here in the motion to suppress, is that an optional non-functioning license plate light is not defective equipment under Virginia law. There is no requirement in Virginia that every light on a vehicle has to be working, just every required light. And specifically, the code sections that apply here speak to lights that require approval by the superintendent.
That's the wrong OT.
Well, I think OE actually contemplates this very situation, Your Honor.
Similar situation.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And I would point the court to footnote 5, where Judge McCullough, at the time, writing for this court, did note that, and I'll quote, devices and equipment mentioned in 46.2-1002, which is the code in question here, are required to be kept in a non-defective condition under 46.2-1003, which is the defective equipment statute. As a result, assuming that some non-functioning optional equipment would cause a vehicle to fail state inspection, such defective optional equipment would not justify a stop under Code 46.2-1003, defective equipment. So Judge McCullough, in that opinion in OD, specifically said if the equipment is optional and defective, that does not, or non-working, I should say, that does not qualify as the legal term of art defective under our code sections, 1002 and 1003. And I think the plain language of the statute, specifically under 1002, which defines what equipment falls under a defective equipment statute, is that equipment that requires approval by the superintendent. And what we have here under essentially the tag light, I'll use that term colloquially, statute in Virginia, is that there are alternatives for lighting your license plate light in Virginia. It can either be done through the placement of the red taillights and the white light that comes from those taillights, or, and they use the word, the legislature here specifically uses the word, alternatively, a single white light. And what we know from the record in this case is that this license plate light tag was illuminated by a single white light. That is evidence both from the video evidence that was admitted at the motion to suppress hearing. It is also evidence by the detective's candid testimony at the hearing itself. And so it's very clear that this vehicle that Mr. Lewis was a passenger in complied with Virginia law. Simply.
So let me ask you this. Because this involves a stop and not a sufficiency of the evidence on the traffic offense, let's assume you are correct and that Virginia law doesn't require the two lights. How is this not controlled by Hine?
Well, Your Honor, I would say any mistake of law made here was not reasonable. And I would certainly, that would be the argument. That would be the distinction from Hine. Hine,
regardless of the fact Ote was out there. And
well, and just based on the plain language of the statute, Your Honor, this is not an ambiguous statute. It is, I would argue, it's not something that requires interpretation from the plain words of the statute itself. And in Hine, and I would ask, since that wasn't something that was actually briefed, if the court is contemplating that, I would certainly request the opportunity to brief it. But I think that Hine specifically contemplates a reasonable mistake of law on the part of an objective police officer. That is what the Supreme Court spoke to in Hine. And I believe in this situation, it is not a reasonable mistake of law. This statute is clear, requires a license plate be illuminated from 50 feet. Detective Ashelman testified clearly he could see the plate from 50 feet. It was illuminated by a single white light that either came from compliance with the statute single white light or from the light of the red tag lights. That's unclear from the record, but either way, that's compliance. Just because the owner of this vehicle added perhaps an additional safeguard to make sure if the red tag lights didn't function appropriately under this code section, they had an additional white light. And that optional additional light, as the Commonwealth conceded here, superfluous, which is also what the trial court spoke to, was not working at the time, does not make it defective equipment.
But doesn't OD speak to the fact that whether it's meets minimum safety requirements or not, it needs to be functioning?
Well, I think that, again,
you're talking about a footnote, but I'm talking about the holding.
It does. But
why wouldn't that go to Judge Decker's question if you're indicating it was a mistake of law? I mean, I understand you're saying that the footnote is the thing that we should focus on. Right. I would just put forth that Odie says something different in holding.
It does, absolutely.
But assuming that for purposes of this question, that the police officer is aware of Odie but either misunderstands it, why wouldn't Judge Decker's question be correct that she asked you?
Well, I would argue that Odie is interpreting a different statute. So certainly under Odie, the court was looking at 101.4 and 101.4.1, which deal with rear brake lights and those requirements, which are very explicit as far as the number and what's required under Virginia law. So in Odie, which talks about the de minimis violations and that any defective equipment under there is defective equipment under 1003, the defective equipment statute, is clearly distinguishable. In this case, we have a clear statute as well, except that it is not a minimum requirement statute, such as 101.4 or 101.4.1. It is essentially, the way I phrase it in my briefs, is it is a goal-oriented statute. It is saying that these license plates must be illuminated from 50 feet. How you do it is one of two ways, through a single white light or the lights from the tag lights. But as long as you can see it from 50 feet, you're in compliance with Virginia law. And Hine is not so much just about, Hine does speak to the fact that the stop lamp statute in North Carolina had never been interpreted before and that it was clearly ambiguous because the Supreme Court in North Carolina struggled with it. But I would argue here that we don't even have to go there because the statute is very clear. And I think the clarity of the statute itself, the language that's used about lighting a rear tag light, does distinguish this from Hine and from Odie, and I think takes it outside those two cases. I also think in Odie it's very significant that the opinion talks about the requirements and the approval that's needed in order to qualify under 102, which defines what equipment can be considered defective. It has to be equipment that is approved or requires approval by the superintendent. The argument from Mr. Lewis is that an additional tag light, whether it's 1 or 20, doesn't require approval from the superintendent. So it can never be defective.
But if the officer sees two lights and one is not lit,
right,
why is it not reasonable? Why is it not a reasonable stop?
Because the officer, a reasonable officer in that position, should know that that car was not in violation of Virginia law because the tag light is lit. So
you're saying that it's not reasonable because the officer was obligated to know your interpretation of the statute in Virginia law?
No, not my interpretation, Your Honor, the plain language of the statute. I think it's fair to assume that officers engaging in patrol should be familiar with the traffic laws of Virginia. And this statute itself, again, I want to be clear, it's not my interpretation. The statute itself is very clear about the requirements.
Assuming Audi doesn't apply to the actual...
Well, I'm certainly arguing that.
...of defective.
That's correct. I'm certainly arguing that. But I think that those arguments are the same, essentially. Both Audi not applying, but also... I mean, I would argue more so a police officer has to know the traffic laws than they do the case law interpreting those laws. I mean, I think that's, at a minimum, a reasonable officer would be familiar with what constitutes a violation or not.
That sounds like an accurate officer to me, not a reasonable officer.
Well, that might be up for debate, Your Honor. But I would state the language of the statute is really both what distinguishes Audi as well as makes this officer's position unsupported.
But 1003 does prohibit the operation of a vehicle that has defective equipment.
That's correct.
And there is no dispute that one of the lights didn't work.
That's correct.
How is that not defective?
Because 1003 then internally references 1002. 1002 states any lighting device, warning device, signal device, safety glass, or other equipment for which approval is required by any provision of this chapter. So if you look then to the statute that requires these tag lights be illuminated.
1013.
That's correct, Your Honor. There is an approval requirement in that statute, but it is merely for the minimal illumination of the license plate light, either through that single white light or through the red tail lights that shine through, essentially, and illuminate the tag light. There is nothing in there about requiring approval for every single light on a license plate tag that an owner of a vehicle might choose to employ. And therefore, it places it outside the defective equipment statute.
So to follow your interpretation in this case, then, we would have to get around the Audi case.
I I think that this court would have to distinguish this from Audi. But I do think the plain language of this statute is significantly different than the two statutes that this court discussed in Audi. Those statutes were very direct about the brake lights, and I believe essentially the facts in Audi were a half of a bulb of a rear mount brake light was malfunctioning, and the appellant was trying to frame it as under 101.4, which deals with the brake lights generally, versus 101.4.1, which specifically references the rear mount brake light. But either way, both of those statutes are very clear about what is required. There are two brake lights. They shall be red. They shall be placed in this a certain place on a vehicle.
Except for an Audi, there were actually three.
Right. And in Audi, it was a rear mount brake light.
How is that not analogous to the situation?
Well, I believe in Audi, and this is my recollection, Your Honor, in Audi, it was actually referencing the rear mount brake light, which is required under 101.4.1. So it's not an additional or superfluous light. It actually is a legally required light. And then that places it under the defective equipment because it's something that requires approval by the superintendent. And so what we have here is a true, just additional piece of a vehicle that, and I'll be honest with the court, I was brainstorming with my colleagues about what some other examples are. You know, I've certainly seen license plates that have various sundry paraphernalia around them, you know, multiple lights around them, and I certainly think our legislature did not intend if one of those pieces of paraphernalia was falling off, or if one of those lights were falling off, or if someone's, you know, red reindeer nose that they put on at Christmas is not functioning correctly, that that automatically translates it into a defective equipment.
But that's not part of the car. That, as you say, the word paraphernalia is attached to your argument.
I would argue that that is optional items or equipment that's put on the car.
Now, these are not, I mean, there's nothing in the record to suggest that these two lights, that either one of them are optional.
Well,
they are, I mean, there's nothing that says they're aftermarket lights. So they're lights that were installed, I mean, to Judge Clement's point, they're not add-ons.
I don't think the record contradicts that, Nora. I don't think that's something this court can infer from the record itself, because we know that
we can't infer that they were factory installed lights.
No, I think that from this record, Your Honor, respectfully, the driver or owner of a vehicle has, under this statute, two options of how to illuminate their tag light. They can either do it through a single white light, or they can do it through their red brake lights shining through.
But the presumption is it's what's done on the car that you purchase, or the vehicle
manufacturer.
Perhaps, but there was no testimony about that in this motion to suppress hearing from the Commonwealth's witness.
But that's the reasonable inference. I mean, the statute does not talk about aftermarket.
No, it talks about approval.
It talks about illuminating the license plate so that police can see it.
Right, right. But it also,
and that's
sorry,
up to the manufacturer how they want to set up the lights.
Or the,
to
I would
do
argue,
that, or
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I keep interrupting you. I would respond, Your Honor, or the owner of the vehicle. If this were a very cautious owner and they bought the vehicle and it had one style of illuminating the tag light through the red tag light, the red tail lights, maybe they decided, okay, you know what, I'm going to add some additional tag lights in case those become malfunctioning. I've got a safeguard, so I'm not in violation of Virginia law. So they could have employed both alternatives and added additional piece of equipment to make sure that they were always in compliance with Virginia law. There's nothing in this record that specifies that that wasn't done here. The detective did not testify to the specifics. He simply said it was a single white light, and he testified the right light was not functioning. So we would argue that that is an optional piece of equipment. It's additional. It falls outside the approval needed to make it under the defective equipment category. And I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Uberman.
Good morning,
hello again.
Your Honor. Hello again.
You have 15 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the court, David Uberman on behalf of the Commonwealth. Your Honor, this is exactly the argument that the OD court rejected, and I do think it's important to be specific with reference to the code sections. It's already been mentioned, but 46.2-1003 makes it unlawful for any person to use equipment that is specified in 46.2-1002. 1002 expressly references any lighting device, warning device, signal device, safety glass, or other equipment for which approval is required. So that right there automatically removes things like, you know, Christmas time car antlers, that, you know, NFL team flags, things like that. That's not that does not fall within the ambit of 1002. And in fact, the unpublished opinion Snyder cited by appellant in this case is demonstrative of that, because that was a case where a police officer pulled over a motorist for having a defective passenger side rearview mirror. And this court found that there wasn't a reasonable suspicion in that case because rearview mirrors were not included in that list that I just read from 46.2-1002.
Counsel, I think her point, though, is in reference to 46.2.10.13, that there are two different ways in which illumination of the rear tag light can occur. And I think her argument is that based on the fact that the rear tail lights can be the light that is illuminating the license plate, that it would be in compliance, even under 102. Do you want to, or 1002, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, Your Honor. And just so I make sure I understand your question, and this is would be the first part of the statute then, that the two taillights can illuminate. In this case, I don't think there was any testimony that the taillight, the actual brake lights, were illuminating the license plate. The testimony was from the officer that he observed a right tag light being defective. It had been extinguished. The light tag light was still on, and it's certainly uncontested.
So that would be the sole source of the illumination of the license plate would be the two white lights over the tag.
Yes, Your Honor.
Any indication that there's other
correct
lights.
With the caveat that the right one was out at the time that it was pulled over, and the officer conceded that they were visible at 50 feet. That's not the issue with this case. And I think it's important to note that 46.2-1013. Is essentially, it provides the goal of the statute, or the goal of the tag lights. Yes, it does say they can be lit by two brake lights. It says it can be lit by a light, a tag light mounted over, but then it says so that it is visible from a distance of 50 feet. That is the exact same type of statute that the appellant in OT relied upon to attempt to distinguish why his high rear mount brake light was not defective under the statute. In that case, their high rear mount brake light had two bulbs in it. One of them was out. The officer pulled them over for that reason and eventually discovered marijuana inside the car. This court in 2012 held that stop was supported by reasonable suspicion, and Odie expressly argued that under 1014, the same argument we have here, well, only one bulb was out, and it was uncontested that, as required by 1014, that the brake lights were exhibiting a red color that was observable from a distance of 500 feet. So there was no question that the purpose of the lights had been met. The issue was with the actual fact that one of those lights was defective, and the OD case expressly spoke to this when it held, in particular, Code Section 46.2-1003 prohibits the use on a vehicle of any equipment mentioned in Code Section 46.2-1002, that includes lights, that is either unsafe or defective, whether or not this equipment exceeds the minimum requirements set forth elsewhere in the code. And what we have in 1013 is the minimum requirements for tag lights. And Odie is saying that despite those minimum requirements, if there is a light on the car, it needs to be functioning. And there's a very good reason for that, and that's because if we take the statutes as the appellant in Odie, and as Mr. Lewis today asked the courts to read them, and combining 1013 and 1003 in this case, or in Odie 1014 and 1003, the reasoning remains the same, and that is it eviscerates the requirement under 1003 that the equipment be in a functioning condition. Because if it's the case that 1003 doesn't apply, then all that we're left with is the subsequent statutes regarding the minimum requirements. And the language in 1003 saying that it's unlawful to operate a motor vehicle with any defective equipment under 1002 is simply superfluous, and this court does not interpret the legislature to have enacted superfluous statutes. Ragland, which is an unpublished case from 1997, but which the OD court expressly cited from verbatim 15 years later, also made an interesting point with respect to 1013, which again is the specific regulations to license plate tag lights. And it said that Code Section 46.2-1013 is codified among the provisions in Title 46.2 that set forth the minimum requirements for lights and turn signals. On the other hand, Code Section 46.2-1003 is codified among the provisions regarding vehicle equipment and safety. It does more than set a minimum standard. It regulates the maintenance of devices or equipment used on a vehicle. And in Odie, the court expressly said Well, we're going to use the plain definition of defective, and defective simply means it's not working. So in that case, it held that because the brake light, the third mount brake light, only had one of the two bulbs functioning, it was defective, and the analogy the court used was in the same way that an engine sputters or falters but still can provide the motorist, you know, with a ride home, that doesn't mean it's not defective. It may still work in some fashion, but it remains defective under the statute. So again, the Commonwealth's position is fairly straightforward, Your Honor, and that's OD applies in this case, and OD controls. The officer, Detective Eichelman, testified that he saw the right brake light out, or the right tag light out. The stop was based upon reasonable suspicion for that reason. If there are two license plates on a vehicle, then Code Section 1003 requires that they both be functioning. So again, having observed that, the detective was within his rights to stop the car. The stop was lawful and did not violate the Fourth Amendment. And unless there are any additional questions, I'll rest on the remainder of the arguments set forth on brief.
One question. What's your response to Ms. Whitley's reliance on the footnote?
Your Honor, I don't think that it matters. I think the footnote expressly references optional equipment. And the way I interpret now Justice McCullough's opinion at the time is to refer to optional equipment such as that discussed in Snyder, that which is not contained or referenced in 1003 and 1002, things like the passenger side view mirror or rear view mirror, or you know, the NFL sports flags that go on top of the windows, what have you. So I think it's distinguishable on that basis.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other questions?
No questions,
thank you. Whitley, I think you have a little over a minute.
Yes, ma'am.
Almost a minute and a half.
Yes, Your Honor. And just briefly to respond, I think Snyder is actually the perfect case to highlight what is an optional equipment. That passenger side mirror is certainly something that fell outside of the defective equipment statute in Virginia. It does not make any of the statutes necessarily irrelevant or, you know, something that doesn't apply to requirements in Virginia of what has to be on vehicles, and that's what we are arguing this light is. It is something that falls outside of the approval of the superintendent. It is an optional piece of equipment, and therefore it doesn't fall within the defective equipment statute. This legislature certainly didn't intend for individuals who did put on additional optional safety equipment or sports equipment or what have you to have to require they be functioning all the time. That's why they limited the language under the specific statutes that apply here.
A body was decided in 2012. As far as you know or argue, the interpretation made in Audi has not been dealt with by the legislature.
Not that I have found, Your Honor. I did not see any amendments to the statutes. But I would again highlight Audi does deal with different traffic, different vehicle statutes than the one in question here. A case that I found in this Commonwealth has addressed specifically the license plate tag light situation. And we will argue the statute by its plain language is different. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll come down and greet counsel, and then McKernan versus